Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What difference does it make when you pray for your family? Cindy Dorflinger, a graduate with a business degree from Colorado State University, has learned about the power of prayer. Like any process of learning, it takes time and it takes practice. And it takes the integration of, in this case, prayer with everyday life. And she's here to share heart to heart with us about her journey, her story of the power of prayer. My friend, I believe you will be encouraged to pray more deeply, pray with more understanding and
maybe
knowledge.
Value prayer more.
Oh, and that's something we resonate with you collectively. We link arms in prayer, especially when we talk about family. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life program is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. You might need prayer. You might be praying for someone else. Well, someone else that you're praying for may need to come to know Jesus. Maybe you, dear friend, are seeking for God. And we're here to remind you that God knows you and God loves you. Oh, He loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. That Jesus shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, who has touched the life of Cindy Dorflinger, He can and will touch your life as well. Would you open your heart to Jesus, no matter what you're facing, what you're going through right now, and receive Christ as your Savior and Lord? We're praying that indeed that will take place. Cindy Dorflinger facilitates a Moms in Prayer group. She served in children's ministries, directed Vacation Bible School, and is presently a year-round volunteer with Operation Christmas Child. It's a ministry of Samaritan's Purse. Cindy lives in Manoa, attends One Love Ministries with her husband, Alan. They have two sons, Eric and Jason. Cindy, welcome. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Okay, so Colorado State, but more specifically, where in Colorado? We may have some people listening who hail from Colorado.
Well, there was Colorado Springs is where I grew up through high school and then went off to Fort Collins to college and studied business there.
What do you treasure about those years growing up in Colorado?
My family would come to mind first. My parents are still living there, as well as my sister and two brothers. I'm the only one that left the nest or the state of Colorado. And just a good family life, a strong Christian upbringing. I was raised in the Catholic Church and with my mother, and that was a good foundation for me.
Mm. Well, we'll come back to that in just a moment. But who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
Good question. Well, I would have to say my mother. She was just a strong godly role model in the family. A good wife to her husband and my father, and just devoted to her children.
Mm. Your faith, you mentioned growing up in a Catholic faith. So explain, share with us how how through that you grew in your relationship with God, your relationship to Christ.
Well, it certainly introduced me to the Word of God. And as I mentioned, just it laid a really good foundation for me. And even I know at a young age, I was just called to pray and really spend more time with the Lord outside of just the Mass that we would go to on Sundays. So it was just, you know, that Catholic foundation was just a good start, a springboard for me.
When you talk about prayer, so it seems like at a relatively early age, you wanted more, to experience more of God beyond Mass. Yes, Mass, but beyond that, was it a feeling? Was it an urge, a compelling? How would you describe that yearning that you had on the inside?
Yeah, it's hard for me to put into perspective. I mean, because I didn't have, as I do today, role models that, and just my pastor and my church body that really study the Word, and you know, both within the church body and in our home settings. And I wasn't encouraged to read the Word every day as I try to do now. But I know when I remember being in sixth grade and just that season of Lent before Easter, the 40 days before Easter, I was just called to pray daily and just really contemplate the sacrifice that our Lord made for us. And was, you know, His love was deeply impressed upon me at that time. I just learned the value of personal devotion, you know, in addition to the Mass that my family attended.
Cindy, did you go to a Catholic school?
I did. I was in grade school and high school. I was in a Catholic school.
So you had it in school as well?
I did. So I know that's a bigger blessing than I will ever realize, especially given today's setting where my faith was certainly celebrated and not discriminated against.
When you would pray, did you feel a closeness to God? Do you feel that God was speaking to you? Did you feel His presence?
I think that, as I can remember, back to sixth grade, I had a sense of that I was being obedient, that I was doing what the Lord wanted me to do and seeking Him daily. And just contemplating His life. And then it was that Easter Sunday that was just so moving, you know, just through the Passion of Christ, that I really just had it's almost like after I'd done my homework, I knew I had a deeper understanding. You know, it was head knowledge before, but I had a deeper understanding of Christ's sacrifice and His love for us.
Cindy, were your siblings sharing in this with you, or were you doing this pretty much on your own?
Pretty much on my own. I was the oldest of four, so.
Okay. Because I just am fascinated, Danny, with the different listeners or guests, I should say, on our program. At a young age, that God touches their heart. And clearly, you know, at about 12 years of age, the Lord Himself is touching your heart and drawing you to prayer.
There may be some, maybe a 12-year-old that's listening because Dad or Mom are listening to our program, but they resonate with some of what is going on in your heart. There's that a special, it's like a light is shining in their soul, like a spotlight, and as you're speaking, Cindy, they say, well, she knows what I'm feeling.
And exactly.
A sense of awareness for God. Let's pause. Just in this moment, what would you say to a 12-year-old today who's experiencing some of what you've experienced when you were that age? Let's say they're listening and they're hearing you, a word to them.
I would first advise them to ask the Lord what steps they should take, and tell them that he will answer your prayer. He will instruct you. If you seek him, you will find him. So really just to call out to the Lord. And Jeremiah 33:3 is a favorite verse of mine that says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. So I think even a child can understand that. They're used to asking a parent or an adult for direction and they receive it. And I would try to explain that, you know, our Heavenly Father loves you more than anyone on earth can love you, and that he would honor your questions.
I love that.
Well, when we come back, let's talk about what brought you from Colorado, having earned your degree in business at Colorado State. What brought you to Hawaii? What were the circumstances? And what took place as you moved here? I think some of it has to do with traveling on a luxury liner of sorts for an extended period of time, playing a key role on the vessel. But the Lord has been at work in the life of Cindy Dorflinger, even as he is at work in your life, my friend. When we come back, we'll talk about how God works in our workaday world, even when there's a tenderness of heart, a tenderness of seeking after God, even in times when things don't make sense, when the pieces don't seem to connect in our lives, and we wonder, God, are you still at work? Are you still moving as I hoped you would or thought you would? Cindy Dorflinger, Heart to Heart with you when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Shortly after she arrived in Hawaii, it was 1983, Cindy Dorflinger began working and living aboard the Independence as a purser with American Hawaii Cruises. Later, she moved to Kauai, where she continued in the hotel management at the Sheraton. But the cruise line, that interests me. Hey, you're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer, Cindy Dorflinger, our guest today. Hey, thanks for joining us. Maybe you caught the tail end of the last segment or are tuning in just now. You can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you. Get it at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listen to it. Share it with a family member or friend. Cindy, what is a purser?
Well, it stems from the word purse, so it's the person that takes care of all the money.
So all the money on the...
On the cruise ship.
On the cruise ship.
Yes.
Like the accountant.
Yeah, it's the cashiers, the front desk that would, change. Cashier's checks were very popular in those days, and payroll for the crew.
Okay, so you have your business degree from Colorado State.
Mm-hmm. In finance.
In finance. So is that... How did you get that position? Because I would imagine there's a lot of finance transactions going on a cruise ship.
Yeah, it was. It's God's story, I guess. But I met my college roommate moved here before I did. She graduated a year ahead of time, and while I was still in Fort Collins, Colorado, I met a girl who was on vacation, who worked on the cruise ships. So my intent was to come to Hawaii and live with my roommate, who was a good friend at the time, and that didn't quite work out. But when I did come to Hawaii, I met with this girl that I had met in Fort Collins that did work on the cruise ships, and they needed a purser right away. So 2 weeks later, I had my interview set up with brokerage firms, and actually got 3 job offers in the same day, 2 from brokerage firms and 1 from the cruise ships.
Suzanne is dropping her jaws.
Yes, I'm trying to resuscitate myself here.
And so I just thought, do I want to be in one of these glass towers that overlooks that harbor every day? Or would I rather which was not even a part of my thought process at all, to go to work on a cruise ship? So I ended up taking the job on the cruise ship. And one of the people that interviewed me said, you're not closing a door within the finance industry. You can always come back to this. So that woman advised me to go ahead and take the cruise ship job.
What was it like living on the cruise ship?
Yeah, it was glamorous. It was, to an extent. I mean, there were a couple years that I worked 80 hours a week, 10 months a year. So in my position, there wasn't a lot of relief, a lot of people that could, as the chief purser on the ship. So that was exhausting, and not the best in you comes out when you're so tired. But there was a part of it that was very monotonous, but there was also, I got to see all the islands. I mean, seeing the Nepali coast from the ocean is amazing, the cliffs of Molokai. I mean, you get a perspective. And definitely a sight of God's glory, in his creation, when you're at sea.
Now, your spiritual life, we talked about that earlier, but how did that grow, or did it grow, during the time where you were working on the cruise ship?
That was difficult. It's not a very Christian environment, I should say. I'm sure it's spiritual. A priest from the cathedral, Our Lady of Peace downtown, would come aboard, and I do it on Saturday night when we were in Honolulu, and I was able to continue to go to Mass and stay in touch with the Lord, but it was kind of a desert season.
How long?
I think it was 8 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
And then you moved. You moved to, is that when you moved to Kauai?
Yes. I mean, I'd met my husband aboard the cruise ship. So, and his home at the time was Kauai based. So I was there. After we got married, I went to work for Sheraton on Kauai because he thought he was moving there. But then he got his job here in Honolulu. So we moved here.
Was he working on the cruise ship?
He was the chief mate and I was the chief purser.
Okay.
So what was his job?
He was second in command to the captain as the chief officer, on wow. board.
So he has had a background in...
in seafaring, yeah. He was a merchant marine since high school, yeah.
What do you treasure most about that time on the cruise ship? 8 years.
It was a unique time in life where I had no responsibilities other than going to work every day, but I didn't have a home. So my load was light. It was not very materialistic. I got to travel during that time, and because typically you would work 4 months and have 2 months off. So then that 2 months I would travel, got to see Europe and really figure out who I was as a young 20-year-old.
And when you went to Kauai, how do you feel you grew during that time?
We were on Kauai for a couple of years. Maybe I was there before Alan got his job here, but it wasn't, nothing stands out during that period either.
Now, you're involved in ministries like Operation Christmas Child, mm-hmm. Moms in Prayer. We talked about that early on, about prayer, the mm-hmm. power of prayer.
Yes.
So as we talk, I see you're working on the cruise ship, you're working at Sheraton, and at some point, your prayers of a sixth grader, and you're seeking after God. Where was there a point of change, a pivotal moment? Doesn't have to be singular, but a period or season where you began to draw closer or desire to tap in mm-hmm. to the power of God through prayer.
Well, I think one of the most pivotal moments in my life was the birth of my first son, and that gave me an understanding of a brand new understanding of unconditional love and what the Father must feel for us. So I think my love, my understanding of God and His love grew immensely as a mother. And I was hungering for more, to go deeper with the Lord and in His Word. And that's when my son was three, I left the Catholic Church and went to Hope Chapel Kaneohe at mm-hmm. the time under Ralph Moore.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get connected with Moms in Prayer?
That was the fruit of this lady on my right, Suzanne. I had my older son attended Punahou, and Moms in Prayer was one of the works of fruit of Suzanne Maurer. So I met mothers there that were praying. And so since he was in fourth grade, I've been involved with a Moms in Prayer group either at Punahou, Mid-Pac, Assets, and then independently as well.
And still today, which is just tremendous because we started in 1989. Wonderful, Cindy. Thank you.
What have you seen the Lord do in the lives of families and children the course of those years?
It's been amazing and continues to be. We weren't able to get this done in 2016, but in 2015, as the facilitator, I make sure that I keep all the prayer sheets, and I do my best to record answered prayers from 1 week to the next. So our last meeting in May of 2015, because we break over the summer, I had recorded by mom and child each prayer that we had prayed and how those had been answered. And it was just an incredible testimony to God's faithfulness. And the ladies at the table couldn't even believe. I mean, we'd lived it, we'd lived it out, but it was just shocking to see on paper the prayers multiple children, and just the way God answered those prayers.
Are you free to give a few examples of how God worked in answered prayer?
Yeah, it was. I know we, outside of a family setting, we've prayed against drugs on campus, and those have been answered. We've prayed against, you know, for good study habits and good grades. We've prayed in when our children have been in various relationships with, you know, either male-female relationships or, you know, as a boyfriend-girlfriend or just with the friends they're hanging out with. We've prayed that our children would be a bright light on the campus that they're at, and they have been equipped to represent the Lord in beautiful ways and to bring, you know, more children, more young adults, high school students to youth group at church.
Danny, I want our listeners to take note of the concept of journaling. And not only just the prayer requests, but then going back to put the answer. That is just a wonderful concept and something I encourage listeners to do. I'm still struggling. It's a brand new year this year, and I'm trying to do that.
You've got a New Year's resolution.
I do, and I'm trying to do it in different colors. But it has to be one of the most gratifying and satisfying things ever to be able to look back and see not only the request but the answer.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you and the other mothers were in awe.
We were.
Looking at the collective measure of how the Lord has heard and answered your prayers.
Yes.
How has your faith grown or been lifted collectively again over the years, seeing the Lord or knowing that God indeed is a God who answers prayer?
You know, just over the course of years, I've definitely gone through desert seasons where I just feel like out of obedience, I continue to read the word every day. I'm in a devotional, I'm in a study, and it just seems my flesh can say, you know, why, you know, nothing's happening. But without a doubt, that it's like an incubation period for the next season. Time and time again, whatever I've learned or gleaned or what the Lord's shown me in those dry seasons of faithfulness, though, I have been prepared for what's coming down the pike.
When a person shares their journey, there's a unique teaching process that takes place, and some of what we learn is not necessarily cerebral, where we're able to catch a concept or something that's placed in a formative or a figurative way that's, you know, placed in a structure. But we just catch it. And as I'm listening to Cindy, through the process of you going through the seasons, you see, because Cindy, everybody has dry times, but you have found the dry as valuable time when you look at it from the perspective of God using that as an incubation period for the next.
And she hasn't stopped reading, and she hasn't stopped her commitment to Christ, even though it's a dry period.
Well, and I think today too, someone might be in a dry period. How many of us have not been? But right now, if you're in a dry period, Cindy gives a word of hope. This is an incubator. The Lord has not stepped away, turned his back on you, though you might feel that, or left you in void and isolation. No, no. The Lord's purpose is still at work, and he's still clear. His love for you is unrelenting, even though you might not feel it. And God still hears and answers prayer. Mm-hmm. We just wait sometimes. We need to wait sometimes. And even in the waiting, there's purpose. God is building for a climax of some kind. And it's worth waiting for, my friend. When we come back from our break, more from Cindy Dorflinger, heart to heart with you. Heart to heart means words that we all just connect with, relate with, and appreciate. And my friend, we love you, and God knows you. And he sends someone today to speak in a way that speaks to your heart, reminding you of prayer and the power of prayer and God's love in the midst, even in dry times. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
The ministry of Operation Christmas Child, it involves introducing the gospel to millions of children around the world. Each year, I get this now, over 11 million children have accepted Jesus as their Savior since 2010. Why? Due to the Greatest Journey. It's the 12-lesson discipleship program which accompanies each shoebox. It's not just soaps and candies and good things. Yes, all good things, but the Greatest Journey. Story of Christ and discipleship taking place. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer, and Cindy Dorflinger. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate you sharing your valuable time with us, and I believe it's worthwhile as we share heart to heart. And Cindy shares her life with us. Cindy, how have you've seen God work through Operation Christmas Child, especially, of course, during the holiday season.
Well, we don't often see the fruit of that work here because the shoeboxes go out around the world. And as you just said, you know, 11 million children have received Jesus. Since
that was new to me. I've been a part of this for years and years and years, and I did not know that statistic. That is heartening.
Yeah. So, the gospel, a gospel message goes out with, it has always gone out with every shoebox. But in 2009, they introduced The Greatest Journey, which was the 12-lesson discipleship program.
Describe for us what it looks like, what it contains.
It's a basic discipleship program, introducing, going farther than just presenting the gospel,
but explaining
you know, Jesus' life on earth and the love of the Father and what it takes to become a follower of Jesus. Because when they do complete the 12-lesson discipleship program, every child receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior and promises to tell 10 people about Jesus. So that means that those 11 million children have turned into 110 million people hearing about Jesus.
Mm. And if they're children, not exclusively, but
primarily, yeah.
Perhaps often they're telling other children, right?
Correct.
Which is a very vital time mm-hmm. in sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm.
Well, especially in some of the countries where a Samaritan purse goes. I mean, this could be tremendously impactful in those countries.
And there are countries that are closed to the gospel, but they will receive shoeboxes for their children. And, you know, there's in Samaritan's Purse's publication this month, that there's a story in Africa where the pastor, you know, through prayer, knew he was to go to a certain village that was primarily Islamic and had the African idolatrous religions. And at first he was turned away, but he went back with shoeboxes and they received him. And the village has got everything's going on there. It's not exclusively Christian, but over 500 children got shoeboxes and heard of Jesus.
Wonderful.
Well, you're serving as a year-round volunteer
mm-hmm.
with Operation Christmas Child, right?
Yes.
So, what does that volunteerism require? What impact do you feel that it has?
Well, it on a local level, it's getting the word out, developing, you know, relations with churches that are not yet participating, and packing shoeboxes, getting student groups involved, shopping for sales for items to fill those shoeboxes, mm-hmm. And just preparing. There's a lot of logistics to coordinate, because primarily churches give in the fall, October, November. I mean, it's always, we always wrap up the Monday before Thanksgiving. So it's when school supplies go on sale in July and August, that's an excellent time to start shopping and wrapping shoeboxes, because we want the shoeboxes to look like a gift. So we try to decorate the boxes and fill them with items that they would need. But there's just story after story where children in orphanages or different villages have seen missionaries come through and tell them about the love of Jesus, but they're still hungry and dirty and it doesn't make any difference in their life. But when they get a shoebox, it's quite often the first gift they've ever received, and it comes with the news of Jesus, that Jesus loves them. So it's tangible
so,
love.
So logistically, mm-hmm. are these boxes coming through local churches, or who's distributing the boxes?
The local churches give, and we have several collection sites on island during National Collection Week in November. And our boxes here go to the Orange County Processing Center because every shoebox is open to make sure that there's not any inappropriate items. Liquids and candy now is not allowed, but toothpaste isn't allowed. But we make sure that, and no war items, war-related toys like a G.I. Joe. But you've got school supplies and hygiene items and toys in these shoeboxes, and they are inspected, and then they are shipped off to different locations.
Cindy, do you have a ballpark idea of how many are collected on Oahu?
Yes. Oahu, I believe it was 26,000, and the state of Hawaii was 45,000.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. And we don't have the, we're desperately awaiting the number, the national number, but it should be around 12 million. Or the international, it's more than the U.S. gives, but about 12 million shoeboxes should have been received in 2017.
So how did you get involved? How did you connect with Operation Christmas Child?
Well, I originally heard of it when I was attending Hope Chapel Kaneohe, and they were participating in it, and my good friend Renee Morgan was the state leader at the time, and got me more involved, and I was here at this station cartonizing shoeboxes with Don O'Brien years ago, and just I continued to do more and more, and knew that my church body could give more than the 42 boxes they initially gave 1 year.
If someone wants to be a part of Operation Christmas Child, how could they do that?
You can certainly put them in touch with me. We have two area coordinators on island that I would put them in touch with, and they would just, we have some opening positions on our Oahu team of volunteers.
Volunteer positions.
Mm-hmm, volunteer positions that we would love to have people join us in preparing just for more shoeboxes to be, the word to get out and more shoeboxes to come in.
Do your hands get tired after a while? Somewhat rhetorical question, Suzanne, but after wrapping so many presents, or do you like do it? Can you do it rapidly? You know exactly.
Well,
everything's uniform.
I have to tell you, I pray the whole time I'm packing those shoeboxes, so I'm not thinking about my hands. I will tell you, I am tired by the time National Collection Week finishes. I am exhausted.
Well, maybe we have an answer to tired hands during Christmas time for wrapping gifts. Is prayer. Prayer while you're wrapping. I would be interested. I would be interested in what you pray about, what you say in your prayers while you're wrapping those presents to alleviate your hand pain. Why you're praying, but I wouldn't be, because it always helps us to learn how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say?
First, I ask the Lord to prepare the heart of the child that's going to get this box.
Okay, so we're going to go deeper into that into our last segment. Learning how to pray from Cindy Dorflinger, especially as we're wrapping gifts. Dear one, you know, the gifts of the Lord, there's a lot of exchange going on during the holiday season. It's also a time during the holiday season that there's a heightening of loneliness and isolation and depression. So the gifts mean a lot, but we also, along with that, need prayer. We need prayer. We should pray as well. When we come back from our break, more from Cindy. I want to learn how to pray more or better. I want God to teach me. I'm like a disciple. Didn't the disciples ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray?
Yes.
Is that your cry of your heart? Maybe it is. Maybe you haven't thought of that for a while. But do you know how close we are as we pray for the power of God to be released in and through our lives? Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Okay, so she mentioned 45,000 shoeboxes in Hawaii and 12 million shoeboxes across the United States. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. You say, Danny, what do you mean? I just tuned in right now. Shoeboxes, 25, 45, 12 million. Yeah, this is Operation Christmas Child, and Cindy Dorflinger, who is the statewide, she coordinates Operation Christmas Child as a volunteer here in Hawaii. She's joining us in studio. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Thanks for joining us. This is our last segment with Cindy, and as we share in this time together, just a few words about Operation Christmas Child. For example, how if someone wants to get in touch and say, hey, I want to find out more of how I can serve or how I can give or how I can volunteer, Cindy, what would they do?
I think the best way for them to go is to the website samaritanspurse.org /OCC for Operation Christmas Child, and they would be able to locate our local area coordinators.
Good. And that's how you can stay in touch, get involved, and be a part. Maybe the Lord put on your heart a desire to serve in this way, a desire to share your valuable time, but to give to children, to help coordinate gifts that will be given to children and spread the good news mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ.
Cindy, do any of the shoeboxes stay in the United States?
They do. I'm sure shoeboxes went to Puerto Rico. And then the indigenous people get shoeboxes.
Thank you. Because generally, the 12 million, the far majority, go to international countries.
Right, over 100 countries.
Yes, wow.
How has the Lord helped you, Cindy, through difficult times?
I would have to say His faithfulness. I'll give credit to Moms in Prayer because we focus on a characteristic of God each week when we follow the format of acts of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So in the adoration part of our prayer time, we're really looking at the scripture that describe or define a characteristic of God. And focusing on who God is and knowing that He's faithful and that He loves us pulls me through the hard times, or, you know, encourages me and keeps me carrying on.
What would you say to someone who's challenged right now?
I would turn to Scripture. I would find the Scripture that would support them in their situation.
Mm. A prayer. You pray for someone who may be facing a really rough time mm-hmm. right now.
Mm-hmm. Happens every morning during my devotion time. And I do think that a large part of prayer is learning to be still. In this day and age, we are not very still. Mm-hmm. But if we come to the, enter His throne room and sit and listen, which is difficult to do in our fast-paced society, but listen for the Lord and for His instruction, it will prompt prayer.
Let's pause a moment. And Cindy, could you lead us in a prayer? And prayer for a dear listener right now.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we come before You grateful for who You are, grateful for Your word and Your faithfulness. And Father, if there's a listener out there now hearing this message who's hurting, Father, I pray that You would meet them in their need, that they would have a very real sense of Your presence and Your love over their lives. Draw them to You, Lord. Draw them to Your word, the Holy Bible, that will meet their needs, Father. And I lift this prayer in Your Son's mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, also I was thinking, with your being involved with the moms praying, not only do you pray through your difficult time, but you're surrounded by prayer warriors
mm-hmm.
that are sharing the burden
yes.
with you and praying for you.
Yes.
And how important it is to have people, even if it's just one person that you can go to and be candid and share your need and know that they're praying.
Mm-hmm.
But even in a group, to have that prayer support, it's powerful. It's always also a privilege to pray.
Yes.
And to stand with people that need prayer.
In our in a related way, talking about prayer, in our final moments here, I did mention before our break about wrapping presents and praying for children, and of course in the parentheses, alleviating hand pain after thousands of presents being wrapped. But what do you pray for when you think about these mm-hmm. boxes and the children that are going to receive it?
Well, initially I do pray that the heart of the child is being prepared, is hungry for the Lord, and is ready to hear the good news of Jesus. I pray for the safe travel of that box, because it certainly meets many roadblocks along the way through different customs and border control and just the logistics of delivering 12 million shoe boxes to over 100 countries. I pray for the volunteers that are, you know, just selflessly giving of their time. And you see incredible videos of these cartons of shoe boxes being delivered by elephant or on top of someone's head or through a canoe in a dark river. So they have some logistical situations to overcome. And just for the local church, that's the beauty of Samaritan's Purse, is that they work with the local church to distribute these gifts. And it just makes it so effective and far-reaching that the local community is reaching the unreached in their community. So I pray for those that are, you know, on the distributing end of these shoe boxes, and that they are able to communicate the gospel message in an effective way to these children.
Have you ever met any of the children that have received boxes?
We have had come through the state on several occasions, recipients of shoe boxes that are now have gone through that discipleship program and then on into adulthood. Our spokesman for Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child. So I have met those. We actually have a shoebox recipient in our children's ministry at One Love right now. So we have, she was adopted after she had received a shoebox. And it wasn't until she was packing a shoebox with her new family that she said, oh, I received one of these. And the mother didn't quite understand at first, but she explained, yeah, when I was in the orphanage, I received one of these shoeboxes. So that's a special story.
That certainly
is
a special story.
Isn't that heartwarming?
And then I always include...
Talk about going full circle, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, I always include a family picture with a note on the back, you know, explaining who's sending this box to the child and that we love them and we're praying for them. And I include our, you know, our mailing address and my email. And oddly enough, one girl found me through Facebook, so I'm friends with a girl in Thailand who received my shoebox.
Oh, that, now I have not done that. Thank you, Cindy. You inspire me for next Christmas.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So just a personal touch, you know, goes a long way.
Mm. Personal touch and prayer.
Yes.
You, Cindy, and you too, Suzanne, you both of you, just remind me, and I think remind me and our dear listener right now about prayer. So often in our lives, we try to do so much on our own, and it's so subtle. We don't realize it, I mean, even as believers. Of course, for someone who doesn't know Christ just yet, this may seem a little bit foreign when we talk about prayer and God answering and God moving. But to hear in flesh and bone people who are walking and live lives of prayer and are also able to testify of God answering prayer, it's an encouragement probably unlike any other. And all we need to do is apply,
Danny,
pray.
Sometimes people will say, well, all I can do is pray for you. Well, hallelujah. There's no gift you could give. There's nothing more powerful, if you really think about it, than the power of prayer going to the Father on behalf of someone. Mm-hmm. It's priceless.
I can only say amen to that.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
So, well, thank you for being with us today, Cindy. It's been a real gift. Appreciate you. Words from the Heart from Cindy Dorflinger. You can find out more at SamaritansPurse.com/OCC. That stands for Operation Christmas Child. My friend, you know, God's timing. Hey, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, I believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehoy.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video set up for you there. And if you'd like to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehoy.com and click Partners. Psalm 5, verse 3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Cindy Dorflinger. SamaritansPurse.com/OCC. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you.